Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And maybe she'll lead a giant twist and shout on the streets. What do you think? Welcome back to the show. Glad you were here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. Our fourth and final hour. Gosh, the first 3 hours flew by, I'll tell you what. And I see Joe Biden just called for imprisoning Donald Trump. That just came out literally at 6:02 p.m. So we got that going for us, which is nice. In fact, why don't we begin the hour there? And then I'm going to get into a story that doesn't affect anyone on this show. And I'll tell you the reason why. Because I have this story here in my formerly pangolin-stained fingers. And first of all, I am married going on, well, let's see, 16 years. Kirk just celebrated 25 years being married. Justin and Matt have fake girlfriends, so this story doesn't affect them. The story from the New York Post says the presidential election is ruining fall weddings. Couples implement booze bans to prevent political brawls at weddings. So I wish I'd had this story on Saturday when I did Fela's dinner, which I could have if I had just read the paper that day. But nevertheless, they're saying this is now, it's affecting dating and it's also affecting weddings. So I'll get into this with you as the show unfolds this hour as well. But yeah, they're taking booze out of weddings. And look, a wedding without booze is painful. It's painful for everybody. Let's just be honest. All right. So we'll talk about that. But that's the political climate that we're living in now. But this is what Joe Biden just said a few moments ago. Take a listen.
Bizarre. It sounds like if I said this 5 years ago, you'd lock me up. We got to lock him up. Politically lock him up.
What does he mumble at the end there, DeSantis, politically speaking? What does he say?
Yeah, he says politically lock him up. I don't know what that even means.
Well, that's what they do in police state countries. They politically lock you up. You get locked up for politics.
I thought he was trying to walk it back. Like, he realized he said something he shouldn't have, and now he wants to say, oh, politically speaking, not actually imprison the man.
Yeah, that's exactly what he was doing. He was trying to walk it back. Kamala Harris's day off. Did you like Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Did you like that?
I do like that movie. I love the Ferrari in it. I wish it was mine.
That's a great movie. That is really one of the best. Well, that's trending now because Kamala Harris took the day off. Here's Donald Trump calling her lazy, which I love. I mean, 2 weeks ago, how do you take a day? I'm not even taking a day off before the election. I'm not running. And I've been on every Friday since we got back from Labor Day. And I said, I'm not taking a day off. I did the show with shingles. I did the show with a friggin' my eye was, I couldn't see. Right?
It is amazing that J.D. Vance was in Peoria, Arizona earlier today. He's in Tucson for another campaign event tonight. Then Trump did his Latino roundtable event in Miami earlier today. He's now flying to Greensboro, North Carolina for another campaign event. Meanwhile, Kamala, nowhere to be found.
Maybe they're going to try to swap her out with somebody else. So maybe she's just going to go missing.
It's especially funny because for the last week or so, she's questioned Donald Trump's stamina and cognitive abilities. And now she's the one taking the day off from the campaign.
I don't know if you remember those old commercials he used to have. They'd go, it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your child is? They're going to have to do, it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your candidate is? As they question if anyone knows where Kamala Harris is. Here's Trump. Take a listen.
And everything. And I was going to hit her really hard on the trail today, but now I don't have to because she's off. She's off. No, I can't get over it. Who the hell takes off? We have 14 days left, and she'll take a couple of more days off, too. You know why? She's lazy as hell, and she's got that reputation. She's a radical left lunatic. She's further left than Bernie Sanders or Pocahontas. Now, Pocahontas, because I think, is Pocahontas, Rick, is Pocahontas further left than Bernie? Just about, right? It's close. It's close. Who the hell cares, right? Rick says, yeah, I don't know. But they're out there. But she's the furthest left. We can't have a person. She's a Marxist. Her, not everything.
Yeah, she's lazy. Well, I don't understand this, how you take a day off with 14 days to go until Election Day when early voting is literally going on, how you don't show people your stamina and that you're going and going and going, when her argument is Donald Trump doesn't have it anymore and he can't keep going and he can't do this. I mean, I don't understand this campaign. I do not understand the strategy here whatsoever. I don't think they have one. And Trump's going to go on Rogan on Friday, Joe Rogan's podcast, which is going to be great. Oh, and by the way, apparently Kamala Harris wanted to go on Dave Portnoy's podcast, which is called Pardon My Take. It's part of Barstool. And Dave Portnoy and Big Cat had this reaction when she wanted to come on their podcast, Cut 22.
This last little push where they're both on like every podcast and doing similar like this.
Nuts.
Like, let's just get to Election Day because this is getting stupid, man.
I can't imagine both of them, I think, are going on Rogan, like talking for like 2 hours on Rogan's insane. Yeah. I mean, Call Her Daddy got spoofed. Alex is on SNL.
Yeah, that was
crazy. It's crazy. Alex is getting Trump's calling her dumb. Just, yeah, it's the
she
final
wanted to come
push.
On PMT.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
No, hell no.
Kamala said she wanted to do something with Jack Mack.
By the way, I have to talk for 4 hours every friggin' day. What does Rogan do? Does he do every day his podcast?
I don't listen to it too frequently. I don't know if he's on every day.
I don't think it's every day.
No, I don't think it is.
And
either.
It's only it's like what 2.5 hours or something like that, maybe a couple times
a
week.
Two to three.
And he gets paid like $25 bajillion a year or something.
I think it's $250 million is the deal that he struck with Spotify.
It's a tad more than I make. I gotta get a better agent.
Rogan releases about 3 to 4 episodes a week, and they're usually about 2 to 3 hours in length, depending on the guest.
Yeah. For $250 million a year, and he's not even working Fridays. I'm just saying. All right? I'm just throwing it out there. So, Danica Patrick endorsing Donald Trump, the former race car driver and all-around hottie, just proving something I said Saturday night, just conservative women are hotter, no doubt about it. Cut 21.
Maybe one of the reasons why women are having a harder time with the vote is just his personality. I mean, that's the most common answer you hear from people is I just can't vote for him. And I don't think that's a good enough reason. You don't have to go to dinner with him. You just have to like the country that you live in. I am passionate because it feels like voting for Donald Trump is like the vote of reason. It's like the rational, reasonable choice. I feel like most of all, though, what this country could be if he gets into office with all of the amazing, brilliant people that are supporting him, I feel like it could not only be make America great again, but make America greater than it's ever been.
I agree, and I think it could definitely be something that you got to get over. It's like it was with that ad with the Jewish ladies at Heimy's. You know, I never cared for him, but he's going to be better. I mean, it's what it comes down to. And I've been telling you for a while, I think that's what that if you are an undecided voter at this point, because I know what you're thinking. How the hell can you possibly be an undecided voter? I think it comes down to that. Here's what I think. I think that there was a time probably a month ago. I don't really know if anybody's undecided at this moment, but there were undecided voters around the time when Biden dropped out of the race. They were open to possibly voting for a Democrat. They don't like Trump personally, but they know America's better. They were open to another alternative. They've seen that alternative, and they're going to vote for Trump. Many of them will hold their nose and do so. Some will just shrug their shoulders and do it, but they're going to vote for him because they want the results and they want the outcome. They may not tell their friends and neighbors about it. They may not tell anybody about it. But that's ultimately what's going to happen. That's how my definition of an undecided voter is that. They were waiting to see if there was any meat on this bone with Kamala Harris, if there was a reason why they could justify taking a risk by voting for a Democrat, or not even so much as maybe that's the wrong way of phrasing it, taking a risk. They were open to voting for a Democrat if it wasn't going to be a continuation of Joe Biden's policies and everything they've seen with Democrats. Had the Democrats nominated a more moderate candidate or somebody who at least was perceived as a moderate candidate, maybe they would have gone with that direction. They were open to it. They watched the convention. They've heard her speeches. They've listened to her do interviews, and they've decided that she doesn't have the substance and they're going to vote for Trump. That's why I think ultimately he wins, because of that factor. And anybody who's undecided at this point is, at this point with 2 weeks to go, it would take something dramatic to change somebody's mind about this. So if you're somebody who says, I hate Donald Trump's guts, obviously you're going to vote for her. If you're somebody who says, I love Donald Trump and I think he's the greatest president ever, obviously you're going to vote for him. If you're somebody who likes Trump's policies, but you don't love him personally, but you really, really loved his policies and loved America under him, you were probably going to vote for him. If you're somebody who, I mean, really, it all comes down to everybody. Their biggest complaint with Trump is not policy. It's always Trump and his personality. It always is. There's really nothing that you can point to, unless you're a far left progressive kook. There's nothing policy wise people can really point to that they say that they don't like about Trump. It's not like people are like, oh, I'm so sick of the fact that there were no wars. Well, actually, there is a coalition of those people, but that's an entirely different thing. That's the Republican never Trumpers who've always been against him. They've never been undecided voters. Their thing is not so much that they hate him. Their thing is that he's not going to give them their war and make them richer and keep the war in Ukraine going. Well, that's the deep state in general. That cake was baked a long time ago. I don't consider them to be any undecided voters. They were always going to be against him. They were against him from 2015 on for those reasons, too. That's the Cheneys and the warmongers and that like I said, that cake's baked. So the people that hate Trump, it's not a policy issue for them. It literally comes down to personality. And so the undecided voters are the ones who at the end of the day are just going to suck it up and vote for him, and he'll wind up winning. And it may not be about caring for Trump's personality so much as it is just liking America under Trump better. And that's ultimately what it'll come down to. So the McDonald's thing is a great example of that, right? The fixation by the left on Trump doing an event at McDonald's. And here's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a great example of this, right? Freaking out about this, angry over this, and arguing that Trump was mocking people, making fun of people. I can guarantee you that that's not how people who work at McDonald's view it at all. Anybody who works in the service industry thinks of a guy who built his legacy on service and created a lot of jobs for people in the service industry. Back when there were four casinos in Atlantic City, the Taj Mahal is a great example. I would go to the Taj all the time. I was not a gambler, but there'd be conventions and go to AC and stuff like this. Multiple restaurants to choose from. Clubs and bars, and it's the same thing with Trump's properties and his golf courses and the people that work there, and they're all in the service industry. They view him as a guy who creates jobs. They view him as a guy who creates service jobs, whether it's for blue-collar workers who build the places or for the people that serve the places or whatever it is. They don't think a guy like that's mocking them for serving French fries. No, they don't view it that way at all. It comes from the hospitality background. Mar-a-Lago is a club. It's a private club. His golf clubs are private clubs. You become members there, and there are servers and bartenders and groundskeepers and all these other people, caddies and people that make their living in the service industry. And they like him. They like working for him. And they don't think he's a bad guy to work for. And they've worked there for years and decades. I have a friend who does banquets for Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster. She loves working for him. She thinks he's great. I mean, she makes a very good living doing the banquets. So people book weddings and whatever else, and she handles it for them. Her name's Lois. She's a great person. There are people that were at Pine Hill, and they do the same stuff there. I mean, they don't view Trump going to McDonald's as mocking or belittling people in the service industry. They view it as him relating to them. That's how I view it. He didn't need to go and drop French fries into boiling oil. He didn't need to do that. I don't think a single person would say, I was going to vote for him, until I saw him reach through the drive-thru with a bag of McDonald's food and give it to a customer. All because they were pre-screened. Because, you know, we couldn't let assassins go through the drive-thru. But here's AOC, who I think is one of the most out-of-touch human beings on the planet. I really do. She's completely out of touch. She's a person who came from the service industry. Ironically, she was a bartender. And I think she's so out of touch with the needs of working class people in this country because she's embraced the elite green agenda. She's embraced all of the policies. Student loan forgiveness is a great example of this. The blue collar people, the people in the service industry are paying the student loans of people who are the elites, who went to Ivy League colleges and other colleges and are going to wind up making more money than any of the people in the service industry or a lot of blue collar workers. And she backs those kind of policies. So she's full of crap. Cut number 8.
We see Elon Musk coming in here. I mean, we got to talk about what this guy's doing, right? He's not only just dumping millions and millions of dollars here in the state of Pennsylvania, acting like he's from here, acting like he knows what Pennsylvania is about. It's not just what he's doing.
Can you stop it for a second? I'm sorry. Is she from Pennsylvania? Did I miss something? Is Sandy Ocasio-Cortez from Pennsylvania, Matt DeSantis? Did I miss that? Because I thought she was Sandy from the Bronx.
She is not from Pennsylvania.
So I love how she's like, he doesn't know us here in Pennsylvania. Did she say that before or after she flew back to New York? I guess that would be before she flew back or took the train back to New York City is what I'm guessing. I noticed that. All right, go ahead.
I don't know, these little contests where he's promising people $1 million in some kind of lottery giveaway if they sign up for his list. And I want us to put together what those two things are like. When you have a billionaire just dangling $1 million to those of us and many of us who are struggling to make ends meet if they dance for him.
If they dance.
You've got Donald Trump putting on a little McDonald's costume because he thinks that's what people do. They're not trying to empathize with us. They are making fun of us. They are making fun of us. Donald Trump thinks that people who work at McDonald's are a joke. Elon Musk thinks that dangling money in front of a working person is a cute thing to do when the election of our lives is before us. Because that's what
I can't take it anymore. First of all, Elon Musk, how many jobs has Elon Musk created through Tesla and SpaceX and his other companies? How many jobs has Donald Trump created? How many jobs in the service industry does Donald Trump currently employ? People who work at all his various clubs across the country, servers, bartenders, waiters, waitresses, whatever else, chefs, cooks, banquet managers, banquet person, and on and on and on. I'm so ridiculous. What a ridiculous notion. She's not very bright to go down that road. And Elon Musk to dance, your chance to win $1 million. Musk has created 110,000 jobs. Thank you. Thank you, Matt DeSantis. 110,000 jobs he's created. How many jobs has Ocasio-Cortez created? Not zero. Zilch. Zero, zilch, nada. And I'll tell you one thing. Relationships matter at Cherry Hill Volvo. That's why we broadcast from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios every single day. And you hear me say that a lot. We all say it here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHG that relationships matter because it's a guiding principle of how Judith and her team run their business. They build great relationships by providing a luxury Volvo buying experience, always doing what is right, making sure you drive away completely satisfied with the best deal available. And they have some incredible deals for you right now. For example, a 2025 XC40 for only $435 a month on a 36-month lease. That's fantastic. Or a 2024 C40 for only $329 a month on a 36-month lease. And you can get 3.99% financing. That's great. I mean, with all these high interest rates right now, 3.99% financing on select new Volvos for 72 months. Hey, maybe you want to do the S-Class, which is made at their plant in South Carolina. Outstanding. American jobs right there. We drive the XC90. It's a third row family car that I love, absolutely love. Just head to the store for all the details at Cherry Hill Volvo. You will love the way you're treated. Judith and the entire Cherry Hill Volvo team look forward to meeting you and making sure you have that incredible luxury Volvo buying experience that you deserve. And hey, they have certified pre-owned Volvos, which are like new with incredible warranties, and they come at an amazing price. And the lease programs they have are terrific too. 3.99% financing and select new Volvos for 72 months. And if you want to do the electric route, the C40, it's only $329 a month, and there's no sales tax in New Jersey on it. So there you go. Check out Cherry Hill Volvo today. They are the region's most accessible Volvo dealership on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, and the only Volvo dealership that stands with us here at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And that should mean something to you in this day and age of cancel culture. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Justin, have you and your fake girlfriend discussed marriage?
We have not. It's only been like 5 months, a little too early for all that, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. Take your time. How old are you?
I am 26.
Yeah, you should wait at least like 25, 30 years to get married. Take my advice on that.
You're not the only one who's given me that advice.
DeSantis, have you and your fake girlfriend discussed marriage?
No, I work here, so I can't afford an engagement ring. It's not worth having the discussion.
Yeah, that's a good point. Fair enough. Yeah.
I have no money.
Yeah, none of us do. We work in radio. Stagecoach wasn't hiring, so. Well, if you guys ever do eventually, when you eventually do, you're both incredibly eligible bachelors, I'm sure at some point. Story from the New York Post: the presidential election is ruining fall weddings. Couples implement booze bans to prevent political brawls. Have you ever been to a wedding where people fought? You ever seen that?
Not me. No? DeSantis seems to be a big hit at weddings this past 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, point now where you're on the cycle where all your friends are getting married.
Exactly. Yeah, I have too many friends. I actually need to cut back, I think. I don't want to go to any more weddings. They're expensive. They're time consuming. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm done with friends. I'm actually going to cut a few loose, I think. Some of the single ones, just in case.
Well, you probably should, because then what's going to happen is then you're going to be on the baby circuit, where you're going to have to go to all... Yep, well, yes, you're going to have to deal with all that, too, because that's what happened to us. It was the wedding circuit, and then it was the baby shower circuit, and then it was the, the first birthday circuit, and, it's a thing. Now, you just had a wedding on Friday, right? That's why you ghosted us?
Yeah.
Nobody fought at that wedding?
Nobody fought, unfortunately. It would have been entertaining. Everyone got along. Yeah. A lot of Trump supporters and listeners of the show were actually in attendance.
Oh, very nice. Wonderful. Now, I don't know exactly how necessary this is, but I guess they're saying to mitigate potential arguments at weddings, some lovebirds are tweaking their wedding celebrations by banning booze and plastering no politics signs at the reception. For example, Illinois residents Katie Newell and Elijah Gallinger, both 24, are tying the knot on election day and are planning accordingly. So they're getting married on a Tuesday? First of all, how friggin' cheap is that? Well, who wants to go to a wedding on a Tuesday? That's the first part of the story that I got to call BS on. I got to be sober on a Tuesday at a wedding? Please. I'd rather get into a fight with a lefty than have to endure that. I'd rather hug a lefty than endure that. The twosome told the New York Times that the date was one of the limited days that their loved ones could all attend and that the venue could accommodate, a.k.a. they're cheap as hell and only wanted to do a wedding on a Tuesday. That's what that is. I don't blame them. Weddings are very expensive. Though they were worried family members would be anxiously checking the news during the nuptials or that their wedding would bar people from voting, their biggest concern was potential headbutting. I think there'll be people on both sides, but I don't think anybody will cause any crazy trouble. See, now, if I get married again, I get married on January 6th, and that's the left's high holy day anyway. I'd do an insurrection-themed wedding. That's what I would do. It'd be hilarious.
Storm the dance floor.
Yeah, everybody storms the dance floor. Have a giant food fight. It'd be amazing. So these two future divorcees decided that their answer is that they're going to not serve alcohol. We thought maybe not having liquid truth running through people's veins on election day is a good idea, she said. First of all, the gift value just went down by 75%, in my opinion. If you don't have... See, Italians, when we go to weddings, we hand you an envelope of cash. That's the Italian way. We don't buy you a toaster. We don't buy you a friggin' crock pot. Whatever, I don't care what's on your list. We hand you cash. This is something my wife could not comprehend when we got married. Was at our wedding, my dad and all his friends walking over, you know, to the bride, or in some cases, you got to go to their table, and they hand you an envelope. And my wife could not believe this, as, you know, a lot of her cheapskate family was getting us, you know, things like, hey, here's a, you're going to need a mop, you know. What is this? Oh, we saw you, you know, we saw you had this coffee pot on your registry. Boston couple Dina, but if I'm going to a wedding and there's no booze and it's on a Tuesday, you're the value of that gift just dropped by 75%. I may get you like a Chick-fil-A gift card at that point. You know what I mean? Maybe. I'm not going. Who the hell am I? Nobody's going to this. You're going to get a lot of, wish I could make it, but yeah, I got to get dragged along by a farm tractor that day and hopefully have my genitals chopped off in a freak farming accident. Be busy. Boston couple Dina Skidides and George Panagalopoulos are saying I do 2 weeks after Election Day, but are still concerned that some of their guests won't be in the mood to celebrate. And they're not sure if the results of their wedding will be in by then. We have a pretty politically diverse guest list, so my biggest concern is no matter how the election turns out, there's going to be some folks at our wedding who aren't celebrating. However, she's hopeful that the joyous reunion will take people's minds off politics at least for a few hours. But some experts warn that attempts to ban political conversation could be for naught. If Election Day is within a week, it might be impossible, explained Atlanta wedding therapist Landis Bajor. That's a profession? Wedding therapist? I thought you don't need a therapist till after you get married. I thought that's the whole point. You need a therapist for the wedding? I'm trying to understand. If you need couples therapy before you got married, before you even get married, that's a giant red flag there. Can I just throw it down? That's a big red flag right there.
I had a friend that actually was dating a girl for 4 months and ended up going to couples therapy.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, they did not last. They ended up breaking up. But what a waste of time. Just break up before the therapy.
Yeah,
it's only been 4 months.
That's like, oh, did you think that when the bride had sex with the best man that wasn't good? It was a bad sign? Was that a red flag for the for the future? A wedding therapist. Man, there's a racket for everything. There's a racket for everything in this life. Sometimes, especially in a large group, asking people not to do a thing means you're reminding people of the thing. She gets paid for that kind of advice? I could be a wedding therapist. I could do that in a heartbeat. My first advice would be get people as drunk as possible after if you're having an election on a Tuesday on freaking a wedding on election day. California-based wedding etiquette expert. These are people that we did not use for our wedding, I can tell you that. A bunch of Italians and Irish people at a wedding dancing. There was no etiquette there whatsoever. Jules Martinez Hurst recommended alternative language such as the following. A lot is going on in the world right now, but we'd love for our wedding to be about what really matters. Love and togetherness. Making weddings great again. See, that's what I would do. I'd be such a I'm too sarcastic. I could never get away with that. So if I was doing the toast, I'd be like, you know, we're not going to do politics tonight. We're going to focus on what really matters, which is all of us coming together, love and togetherness, making weddings great again. Am I right? Am I right? Right? Huh? Did you see what I did there? You see what I did there? And I'd say something like, what we don't want to do is have alcohol here at this wedding because we believe the alcohol at the wedding would be a true threat to democracy here at this wedding. And I would be so, they would hate my guts for this. They would hate me for that. I could never handle this. But I'm going to become, if this radio thing doesn't work out, I'm going to become a wedding therapist. Be amazing. I'm going to be a wedding therapist. Oh, the polls do cash too? My friend, yeah, she's saying that's what the polls do too. But sober? I'm going to be a wedding therapist, and I'm going to sit down with the bride and groom and go, let me tell you something right now. The fact that you hired me, I'm going to bring in my friend He's a divorce attorney. We're going to give you a 2-for-1 special right now. So you act now, you're going to save 50% off your divorce in 5 years, but you got to hire him right now. This is part of my wedding therapist package. And I have another friend here who's going to walk in. He's going to sign this is a prenup. We're going to sign that too right now. And I got a third friend. This is going to be the friend that you cheat on her with. So here you go. If you sign the whole package, we're going to give you $150 off right now. And we're going to throw in a free cake, gluten-free and vegan, for you two idiots who hired me, your wedding therapist. All right, this is the big story of the day, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Oh, Snowbuddy Gal was trying to call. Who's not answering the phones? Who's not screening calls right now?
Hey, don't look at me.
You can never call back in. I was thinking she might have been calling in when I was when I ran out of the room.
Uh-oh. Val, you can call back. Did we give up screening calls? I'm giving out the phone number. I'm not doing this for my health here.
Yeah, if she calls back in, I've got her.
All right. I'll tell her to call back right now. She might have a good wedding story. I'll say call back. It's not me. I don't screen calls. That's for sure. Let's see. Frank M. Now in Tennessee says, coming up for a wedding at the Hotel DuPont on November 16th. If DJT wins, do we think downtown Wilmington will still be celebrating? And my grandmother was the keeper of the envelope at my Italian wedding 45 years ago. My Irish in-laws brought gifts. Yep, they do. We got a painting. Mm-hmm. Somebody gave us a painting at our wedding. It's in the basement now. You know what people don't do with cash? Put it in the basement. Well, I mean, they do if they're going to safeguard it. But a lot of those wedding gifts, you got like, oh, you got us a... Look at that. You got us you framed our wedding invitation in a beautiful mat. Wow, that's really beautiful. What'd you spend on that? 40, 50 bucks? That's you really went all out for that, huh? That's beautiful. Look at that.
I've noticed that the cheaper options are disappearing from the registries. Now it's like you either give cash or you're stuck buying a $300 salad bowl or something.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. That's the other thing about newlyweds, too. And you figure this out after a long time. So this is advice I can give you guys, which is all those salad bowls and the china and all that other crap. 10 years from now, you're going to go, why the hell did we put any of this on our registry? It chips, it cracks. You know, you're like, oh, we're going to have the nice salad bowl. Let me tell you something. After 16 years of marriage, what you would love more than anything is for somebody to watch your kids for the night so you can go and order a salad at a restaurant. You're not putting that salad in a nice bowl when your four-year-old takes it and chucks it across the room and go, well, great, fantastic. Let me check in on the wedding therapist right now. You know, people that can afford not only a wedding therapist, but a wedding etiquette expert at the wedding, those two people right there, I hate them. I hate them so much for every reason in the world. And I guarantee you there's going to be no fighting at their wedding because nobody really likes them in the first place and nobody wants to be there. Guarantee it. And they were the first people in Martha's Vineyard to go, look at all the brown people. I guarantee it. Mark my words. Mark my words. Buffy and Chad with the wedding therapist and the etiquette expert. All right, so the big story of the day is brought to you by Vanaria Dental. Come out to Dr. Mike Cinnamonson's office Saturday, November 9th for their annual Veterans Breakfast and free shredding event. Honor all those who served our country. Get some coffee, cake, donuts, and pizza. Bring your documents that need shredding and mark your calendar for that Saturday, November 9th. And we got more to come. Our fourth and final hour. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All righty. Yes, indeed. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today as we close out the show and get ready for what will be now the final countdown before Election Day. I think it's important to play this clip since we're talking about everything political and why Dave Ramsey is backing Donald Trump. Money expert Dave Ramsey told his listeners this week he's backing Trump for president. This is the first time he has publicly backed a presidential candidate. he said on the Dave Ramsey Show. Cut number 17.
I'm looking at ideas and which ideas land on which side of the aisle. Where am I most likely going to get a tax policy I like, an immigration policy I like, a foreign policy I like? Where am I most likely to get a gun policy I like, a climate change policy I like, a woke policy I like, that I agree with? Where am I most likely to get that? And I can check those boxes very clearly, very quickly on these two candidates. So I'm going to tell you, I'm voting for Donald Trump, not because I'm voting for Donald Trump.
Are we going here?
That's okay. But I checked those boxes, and more of those are on that side than on the other side. Some of you are never going to listen to me again after this. That's okay. I can deal with that. That's happened to me for 30 years. People have threatened me that I'm going to cancel you. That's hard to do. I own the show. And so you're not going to get to cancel me. So you can leave, but you can't cancel me.
Oh, good for him. You can leave, but you can't cancel me. I like that. And he's, again, he's a guy who, you know, he knows money. So I think that matters to a lot of people. I really do. And here's something else, too. Trump revealed that Dwayne The Rock Johnson called him after the first assassination attempt. I don't know if The Rock's going to vote for him or not, but Trump appeared on a wrestling podcast, and he said The Rock gave him a phone call. You smell what The Rock is cooking? Cut 19.
Your social media is very big, right?
I guess. I'm not...
You're not into
it. Is my social media?
It's pretty big.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Who's the biggest on social media?
The Rock.
Oh, The Rock is. Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson.
You know, he was great. I never thought he liked me. And I felt badly because I think he's a terrific guy. And then Dana White said, when I was shot, took a shot to the ear. You may have heard about it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about it.
I heard some rumblings about this.
Yes. Rock called Dana and said, I want to have his number. What he did is sort of incredible. He considered it bravery. I don't know. To me, I considered it like, what's going on here? But it was very nice, actually, The Rock. So you might mention that I said that. Do you speak to him?
Occasionally. I saw him in April.
There you go. He also talked about the famous Battle of the Billionaires. I'll play that tomorrow since I'm kind of basically out of time here. But one thing to keep in mind from today's show, and this is an important point, and I started the show with this, talking about the fracking issue and Kamala's recent flip-flop again on fracking. Don't forget something here, and that is that there really is no policy difference between Kamala Harris and this administration. Even the doofus, the Midwestern doofus, Tim Walz, struggle to name any policy where even Harris differs from Biden. I'll share that with you tomorrow as well, since I'm basically out of time. But go back and listen to the segment I did on the fracking. I think it says everything about who Kamala Harris is. This climate advisor saying the quiet part out loud, which is Kamala Harris is never going to expand fracking. Any leases that were given out as part of the quote-unquote Inflation Reduction Act, she doesn't have anything to do with that. They're trying to distance themselves from that. So it's a total and complete lie that she supports fracking. Have a great rest of your night tonight. Jimmy Failla is up next. Fox Across America. Stay tuned for that. And I'll be back with you tomorrow from 3 to 7. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Instagram at Zeoli Show, where you can see some clips of my recent appearance on Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Failla. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.